Morning, Rabbi Sai. Our limud of halacha every day is as a should be as a chus for the refuah shleima of Yosef Dov ben Chayla. He should have a refuah shleima b'soicha she'akol choyle Yisrael. So, just to tell you how interactive and international the Torah way is, I mentioned yesterday we were speaking about those people who have a suit made to measure, and whether or not that is more choshev and is goyim in the end more simcha, and therefore you can't go for your final measure and collect your made-to-measure suits. And I mentioned that in my many years ago for my bar mitzvah, I went to the East End with my father to Mr. Kesselman, and I couldn't remember the name of the street. And by the time that I got back to my office, somebody had already sent me an email saying, I was listening to your halacha, and it was Hessel Street in the East End, which Itaka was. So just shows, you know, there are people out there, even if there aren't so many people in the room, there are plenty of people out there who are still listening. So what we established was that during the 3 weeks, up to the 9 days, you don't need any heter of a metzia, of a dover ovid, or an opportunity that I can buy cheaper now and that I won't be able to buy later. If the beged is not the super duper beged, the gown that's made to measure, or the suit that's made to measure, which is goyim simcha, it's something that you buy off the peg, and most people nowadays do not make shechionu on begodim that they buy off the peg. It's not such a goyim to simcha, people buy more often than they used to. Then the halacha would be that you can buy it during the 9 days in a normal way. During the 3 weeks up to the 9 days. Yeah, you're quite right. Good. So, and you don't need to be buying a metziah. After the 9 days, that means from after Rosh Chodesh Av, from after next Friday, not this Friday but next Friday, then the halacha changes. And then you're allowed to buy it if it is a metziah, if it's something that you won't be able to get later for that price, or that you won't be able to buy at all because it won't be in the shops, or the stock will be gone, or whatever it is, and you've got an opportunity to buy something during the 9 days, which is a metziah, then you're allowed to buy it, but not to wear it. In other words, you can buy it in order to secure the deal, but not to wear it. See, that's what he says. He says here that here in I'm reading to you from the Piskei Tshuvos. He says, "B'mokam peseda of a dova ovid," that when you're going to lose out as a result of these halachas, and the halachas of Avelus during the 9 days are all midrabbonon, loy gozru rabbonon, the rabbonon were not gozer where there is a loss involved, l'chein. Therefore, im yesh mechira soifoino, there is an end of season sale, b'yomim elu, and after Tisha B'Av it'll be more expensive, then you can buy the begodim, but not to wear them. And therefore, it says the same thing about a soicha, a businessman who's got schoya to order, and he can get a metziah, he can get something that he can buy now, which is cheaper, and if he buys it after the 9 days, it will cost him more, then he's allowed to do that. Now, it says, nevertheless, it says, if there are big day katanim, if children, who malach lechim tomid, they need many changes of begodim, then if you've got laundered begodim, then if you've got clean begodim to put on them, then that's fine. But if necessary, then for the young children, one is allowed both to buy and you're allowed to let them wear if you haven't got clean alternative clean clothes for them to wear during the 9 days.
Start your day the Torah way in Northwest London, Thursday, Kof Aleph Tammuz, 17th of July. Dayan Levi Yitzchok Raskin Shlita, exploring the base of Hamikdash. This week's Torah is sponsored anonymously by Refuah Shleima Lechol Cholei Am Yisrael. Veleschus, Ashvam Chayolim Bamil Chamo, Shach Surotem Leshalom Bim Heiro. So, person called a young king, he said, thanks very much. He said, no, that's not.
Good morning, Ken.
Good morning.
Pleasure to be back again. During the 3 weeks we've just heard the inyanim of Zeche L'Churban, together with Zeche L'Churban, that's why we have the Avelos in the 3 weeks, and the various restrictions, at the same time the emphasis on Zeche L'Mikdash, on thinking about the Beis HaMikdash, what are we missing, and what are we looking forward to. So we have the special emphasis in this time of the year to be learning about the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, so I want to talk about a couple of details about the Beis HaMikdash. All right, so you all know the map of Eretz Yisrael, how Yerushalayim is like a little bit south of center. But I want to focus on Yerushalayim at the time of the Churban. So if you can't see it, then I'm going to have to trouble you to come a little bit closer. So we have this rectangle over here. That is the Har HaBayis. Har, which is Temple Mount today, it in the Mishnah is described as Chamesh Meyes Amo al Chamesh Meyes Amo, 500 Amos square. Today it measures 500 meters from north to south, whereas from east to west it's 250 meters, which is approximately 500 Amo. So evidently the area has been expanded since the way it was in the times of the Beis HaMikdash. Okay. Now, what is very strange is that the original city of Yerushalayim was just south of the Temple Mount. You've all been to Eretz Yisrael, I'm sure. You come out from the coastal Maravi. If you want to get the bus, you make a right. If you come out, you want to have the bus goes from left to right. The bus goes this way. Now, but if you make a little bit of a left, just I don't know 50 meters or less, you come to excavations called Ir Dovid, and they lead to where the original Yerushalayim was, as it says in the Pasuk in Yechezkel, "V'ra'isi kemivne Ir Minegev." I saw, when he has this vision, in Yechezkel from Mem through Mem Gimel, he's describing a vision, he's got a guided tour of the Beis HaMikdash with a malach, and he says, at the beginning of this, I saw there's a settlement of a city to the south, and that is this area which is now identified as Ir Dovid. There is not much of a built-up area there. There's an Arab village called Silwan. Silwan is taking its name from the Shiloyach. So now that's very, very significant. I want to explain a little bit the original Yerushalayim and the expansion and about the Shiloyach. Now, the original Yerushalayim is built on a rock, and it's got this teardrop shape. The highest part is indeed Be'edech. Close to the highest part is where the Har HaBayis is. And then it goes a little bit down, but it's all high on a rock. This makes such a city very, very fortified against enemy penetration, because the citizens are inside, above. They've got the height to their advantage. So any enemy who wants to penetrate has to climb up, and that puts them at a disadvantage. So Yerushalayim is very, very powerful. Very resilient to intrusion of enemies. Its weak point, as they'd say, Achilles' heel, the weak point is it doesn't have any natural water. Anyone ever gone to Tashlich on Rosh Hashanah in Yerushalayim? There's nowhere to go. There's no river in Yerushalayim. So the main natural water source is the Shiloyach. And the Shiloyach is... It starts off with a fountain or a spring called Gichoin, and then it develops into pools called the Shiloyach, and that is somewhat south on the southeast of Yerushalayim. It's outside the city. It's lower down. Now this is the vulnerable point of Yerushalayim. Because of this, if you look at pictures, you can see it's very well fortified. Because if Chas V'Sholom, the enemy, would be able to take control of it, then the people inside are on their knees because they have no water. So this is the Shiloyach on the... Now the Shiloyach, as we are, it becomes famous on Sukkot because on the south side of the base Hamikdash, or the Azora, there's a gate called Shar Hamayim, in English known as Watergate. And so yesterday I said this over to some younger, but they didn't realize what I'm talking about. But our age, we know what we're talking about. You know, there's the Al Kolponim, you've got the Shar Hamayim. Shar Hamayim is on the south, and it's the gate where they would go out towards, or they bring in the water from the Shiloyach. They'd go south, scoop some water, how much it was, a couple of liters, and that would be brought and poured on the Mizbeach during the 7 days of Sukkot. That's the Shiva Samayim and Nisuch Hamayim, which is happening on Sukkot. So that's coming from the Shiloyach. Okay. Now, as you know Yerushalayim today, you come to if you're at the coastal is this wall over here, the western wall. You look, you turn around, you'd see Yeshivat Porat Yosef, you'd see whatever, you'll see the built-up Jewish quarter. That's very much to the west. As I said, stay to the south is very little. The original Yerushalayim, as I said, was just this piece, which you can see with the dotted line if you can. And it was enclosed with, was flanked with two ravines. On the one side, the Nahal Kidron, the valley of Kidron, and beyond the Nahal Kidron, you have here Har HaZesim, which is that the way it is today. If you go out, if you look to the east, once you've got past the coastal, you look to the east, you'll see Har HaZesim. But on the other side, on the west side, there was a valley called Gei Ben Hinoim. That was a ravine, and so there's a mountain here, Har HaBayis. There was another mountain over here, and in between there's this ravine, valley. They have a word in the Tyropian or something like that. It used to be this ravine. What happened now? It comes to the time of Chizkiyahu Melech Yehuda. And as you know, at that time, Sancheirev was very powerful, and he had exiled the 10 tribes from the north. So most of the Aseres HaShvatim had been exiled, but a lot of them managed to escape the expulsion, and they managed to come to take refuge in Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim was too small to accommodate all of them. So they settled on the mountain nearest Yerushalayim, to the west of Yerushalayim. So now you've got a huge nucleus of houses, of homes, on the west side of Yerushalayim. Eventually they built big bridges to connect between the mount, I'm not sure what it's called, but this mount in the west and Har HaBayis. If you know, when you pass by, you see all the excavations lower and lower and lower, because it used to be much lower, and now it's all kind of built over. So when you want to go west from Har HaBayis, you're going uphill. Yeah, you got all those steps up to the Jewish quarter. But it used to be that there was a big ravine in between. Okay. At a given moment, Chizkiyahu Melech Yehuda comes, well, we've got all of these extra, let's expand Yerushalayim. So Yerushalayim, instead of being this little strip going down south, Yerushalayim becomes now expanded. It expands to the west. And so all of that area, which had been now populated by these refugees from the north, now becomes part of the city. Okay. Makes sense. Then Chizkiyahu has a brilliant idea. We have here, our weak point, we said, is we don't have water inside. The water is outside. That makes us vulnerable to an enemy. Let us divert this water, that instead of it being outside, let's find a way. Now, they couldn't, it's all rock. There was no way they could divert it inside the rock, because it's rock. But let's divert this water downhill, down all the way down south, and then into the ravine, the Gei Ben Hinoim, where it's going to go downhill, the water will be able to trickle down, and it will be inside the walls of the city. Yeah? Does that make sense? That is a brilliant move. because it means that the water will be safe for the inhabitants of the city. And it doesn't provide the enemy a water supply outside because we've taken the water for ourselves. Brilliant move. So we all know the Mishnah. Im Sochim, Al Shisha Dvorim Osach is Kiyol Melech Yehudo, Al Shloisha Hoidu Loi, Va Shloisha Loi Hoidu Loi. One of them is Sosam Me Gichoin Ho Elyoin. He blocked the Gichoin. What this means is he diverted it. Now, I'm sure you've heard this story, I think it's described in Nach, about the tunnelers, and they came from two different directions, and then they meet at a particular point, and their axes meet from the different directions. That was this tunnel which they had made to divert the water that should come inside. And here the Mishnah says, Chachamim, we're not happy with Chizkiyo Melech Yehuda's move. It says in Novi, it says, Vayivoa Tzimasorim, the poem we see in the Mishnah Loi Hoidu. Now here, a fascinating story. You all know the Shem HaGdolim from the Chidor. It's like a lexicon of Jewish personalities of the Gdolim. He comes to the entry under Reb Chaim Vital. Reb Chaim Vital is the Talmud Muvhak of the Yarizal. So he says, although, the Chidor writes, although generally I don't tell stories here, but here I have to share this, which I heard from Zikne Yerushalayim. He tells the following story. After the Arizal has passed away, which is what, Shir Namad Gimel or something like that, the Reb Chaim Vital had moved to Yerushalayim. On a Friday afternoon, it's very quiet, because the Jews are getting ready for Shabbos, the Muslims, Lahavdil, are going to their mosque. It's very quiet. Happened to be one Friday, there was a visiting Pasha by the name of Abu Saifin. Very powerful in personality. And he's in Yerushalayim, and he hears water trickling underground. It was so quiet, you could hear this water trickling. Now, as I've described, the desperation for water for a river in Yerushalayim. He said, where's this water? We don't know. Well, we have to find out. The Jews might know. Go to the Jews. Where's this water? He says, Reb Chaim Vital. If anyone knows, it's Reb Chaim Vital. So, Abu Zayfin summons Reb Chaim Vital, and he says, that water, I need that water exposed. By the time I come back from the mosque this evening, you better have divulged where it is. If not, domcho bereshecha. You're in deep trouble. Chaim Vital uses his koiches of Kabbalah, and that Friday afternoon he transports himself to Damascus. To Damascus. Al pi Kabbalah, there's an inyan to have a rest of Friday afternoon. To have a shlof. Dormita dazel. I don't have this minhag. Friday afternoon is, busy. But Kabbalim have, so Reb Chaim Vital has his rest, his shlof, on Friday afternoon in Damascus. In his dream, his Rebbe, the Arizal Kalas, comes to him. He says, what are you doing here? So he says, sorry, with Abba Siphon, with water. So he said, Reb Chaim Vital says, I didn't want to use koiches of Kedusha to expose the water for this rush. So the Arizal says, but to use yourself, to get yourself away from Yerushalayim to Damascus, you were able to use koiches of Kedusha. Yeah, that was okay. But meanwhile, he says the following, fascinating. He says, you should know that you are a Gilgul of Chizkiyahu, Melech Yehuda. Abu Saifin is a Gilgul of Sancheriv. Now, the word Saif, you all know, means a knife. Sancheriv means the master of the sword. So Abu Saifin is the presence of Sancheriv. Work it out, Chaim Vital and Chizkiyo is the same gematria. Work it out. So now, he says, you are a Gilgul of Chizkiyo, and you were now in the you had the opportunity to rectify that which Chizkiyo had failed in the when he blocked the waters. You had now the opportunity to rectify it. So Reb Chaim Mishal says, Rebbe, I'll go back. So he says, the words of the Arizal says to him, Ato iskalto ashoi. You acted foolishly. That's what the Arizal says to him. And he says, I should go back. Too late. Fascinating story. What's God going on here? So in other words, the fact that Chizkiyahu did this brilliant thing of diverting the water is wrong. It was a miscalculation. And hundreds of years later, thousands of years later, it's still waiting for a tikkun.
Sorry, what was wrong with it?
That is exactly my question. L'chaire, it is such a smart move. So now...
Also, how come Reb Chaim Vital didn't, though?
Okay. As we have the expression, we learn from mistakes. So the story is the following. Now, so there is a mime of the Balatanya in Ansukis, in Simchas Beis HaShe'evo, and he says a fascinating point, which he says that the waters of the Shiloyach originate from the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Now, you all know there's a nevuah that Ra'isi Behine Ma'im Fakim Yotzi Mitachas Miftan Abayz, and there's a Novi who says he sees water trickling out, coming out from under the threshold of the HaKadosh HaKadoshim, and it's just like a hair breadth, and then it goes wider and wider and wider, and then it comes till becomes like a whole river. This is a vision, I think, of Zecharia. In the Mishnah Midos, it says about Shar HaMayim, that's where they would go with the water for Simchas Beis HaShe'eva. Uvoi HaMayim Mefakim V'Hasidim Liyos Yoytzi Mitachas Miftan There's water we have in Novi about water coming out from the Kodesh Kodashim. We do not see it today. One time when I got into this, someone sent me an article of some, how do you say, choker, some kind of archaeologist, whatever. They had the following. There was some kind of water contamination in pools near Har HaBayis, in the Shuk over there. What pools they are, I don't know. But they identified the same infection in the water, and they found the same infection in the waters of the Shiloyach. So evidently there's a connection, an underwater connection, from the Shiloyach to the water by Har HaBayis. Okay, but coming back. So now, this is with the... Like sometimes you have, in water, you can have a germ or something. And so sometimes you can see the same, don't ask me more details, but sometimes you have a problem with the water, and you can identify the same problem in another place. So they saw a connection between the two. Okay. So now, it's fascinating stuff. So now you have the following. This, what I've told you so far, I said is from the Benish, from the... Chido, and the story is repeated by the Ben Ishchai in his Sefer Ben Yehoyodo in Psochim, where the whole story is, and he gives us more details about this Abu Saifin, a little bit which happened afterwards. But meanwhile, this is. So now I'm going to go back. Now there's a Megala Amukus. The Megala Amukus says the following. He says that Chizkiyahu Melech Yehudo and his adversary Sancheriv, they were a repeat of Avram Avinu and Nimrod. As we know, there's these Avram and then we have the battle of the by Sodom, and then Avram chases after Kedar Elohim, etc. By Yidufeim Ad. By Yidufeim Ad Choyva Asher. There's two things, Adon and Ad Choyva Hashem Mismoyle Damosik. So now you all learn Chumash Rashi. Why did Avram not be? Why couldn't he chase after Don? Why did he stop at Don? No? Ah? because he foresaw that Dan will be the location where there will be the golden calf, which Yerovam made two golden calves, one in Shoimrim, one in Dan. So since he saw the Choyvo, foresaw the Choyvo, then he became weak. He wasn't able to chase anymore. Before I go further, Damesek and Mikdosh are the same letters. It's just that in Damesek, it's on the sin, smolis, the dot is on the left side, and in Mikdosh, the dot is on the right side. It's so ironic that Reb Chaim Vital is in Yerushalayim, next to the Mokev and Mikdosh, and he runs away to Damesek, to the Chayvah, to Damesek. Okay, coming back. So Dan is where Avraham perhaps at the time, he is unable to go all the way because of Dan. Hundreds of years later, Chizkiyahu is now pitted against Sancheirev. The times of Chizkiyahu, it says, Bodku midon viad Be'er Sheva. Yeah, everyone knows this? They checked Don Be'er Sheva and they didn't find a single child who wasn't Boki. So if Don had previously been an obstacle in the pursuit of Nimrod, but now Don has become a place of Tare, so the obstacle isn't there. So therefore, Chizkiyahu would be able to neutralize the power of Sancheirev. So he didn't have to be frightened. And imagine if Sancheirev would have drunk the waters which are coming out from the Kodesh HaKadoshim. What would happen then? I'm just speculating. Such a powerful Kedusha, he would be neutralized. He would lose his koiches of his power of tumah would fall away. And therefore, Ashloisha loy hoidu loy, it's true, strategically, protecting the Shiloyach waters, bring it into the city, was on a das tachton, on a human level, a brilliant move. But on a spiritual level, it was the wrong thing to do. And therefore it was left unfinished. And now, hundreds of years later, the Arizal says to Reb Chaim Vital, Arizal brought a tremendous degree of Kedusha to the world. Now was a time where he could have exposed the water to Abu Saifin, and then that would have been brought an end to Ruach HaTumah, and would have been a threshold for the Geula. So that's where the Arizal. So I just see this whole train of thought, fascinating points here. One of them being that not always do you have to hide. It's okay to stand up and say, yes, we are Kedusha, and this is what we stand for, and you know, you don't like it, it's okay, but that's my strength. So this is one point which I wanted to share with you about the Shiloyach, and the Beis HaMikdosh, avoid the Beis HaMikdosh.
So could you repeat again, what would happen if Sancheirev?
My hunch is here, that if Sancheirev is a koich of tumah, but if he is going to drink from the waters which come from the Kodesh HaKadoshim, it's such a powerful Kedusha, then that would neutralize his koiches in tumah. Yeah, and then he would lose his power. Just to...
Is that why the Chachamim were against him?
That's my understanding, yeah.
Well, what's the last book? Does it also say something just like the book of Refuahs, Christos?
That's in the same Mishnah, yeah.
That they would, in other words, if the Yosha Yerushalayim would have to daven more, if they knew that the enemy could take the water, so like this, if they've got water, we don't have to daven.
Okay, that's another Svara.
What was the Maskana when the Chidor came back from Damascus?
Oh, the Chaim Vital?
He
lost the opportunity.
It's too late.
There was an opportunity of neutralizing the tumor, and he lost the opportunity. In the Ben Ish Chai, he says how this Abu Saif, just to understand the power of this, after he died, he remained a very powerful person. After he died, his grave became a shrine. And people would come there, and they would be geholfen. They would be helped by praying at his grave. And not only Goyim, even Yidden would also go to his grave. And there was a particular Mekubal, he says his name, And he's saying, we can't leave this go. And so he went there and he rented a room just across the street kind of thing. And he was spent about a month in intense tefillah. And after that, the whole Abba Seifen became like a forgotten. His whole power, his whole charisma became obsolete. That's how the Ben Ishchait is. He lived in that area. Yeah. I have another couple of minutes. I want to share with you a totally different Indian, also connected to the Beis HaMikdash. And that is, you have the Shulchan in one of the central features. You come into the Kodesh, in the Kodesh, so you see to the Shulchan B'Tzofen U'Menoyre B'Dorim. Is that right? Yeah, that's what I remember. Ritzel L'Hashir Yatzpin L'Hach Kim Yadrim V'Simonoch Shulchan B'Tzofen U'Menoyre B'Dorim.
That's why we put the menorah on the Dorim wall.
Right, in the Chanukah. So now the Shulchan measures, written in Torah, Amo Rochboy Mosayim Orkoy V'Amo V'Chetzi Kimosi. There's a Gemara which asks the following. If the Shulchan is an Amo wide, would the Shulchan fit into a mikveh? Because the typical mikveh is an Amo by Gimel Amos, yeah? 1 by 1 by 3. That's the original measurement discussed in Gemara Psochim. And so, if the mikveh is 1 amma wide, would the Shulchan fit? Now, when you learn this Gemara by Hashkofa Rishonim, it doesn't make sense. Because how can you fit even if you say amma b'tuch amma nichneses, what happens to the feet? The legs are, they're not going to fit in. And if you're going to say that the tabletop is removable from the frame, so then, no problem. You can put it into put it on the diagonal. It fits in there, no problem, into the mikveh. So what's this question about whether the table could fit in the mikveh? So the Hesber is, Meiri was on it. The Shulchan is 1 by 2 by 1.5. How many cubic amudas is the overall dimensions? 1.5 times 2 by 1? It's three. So the overall dimensions of the Shulchan is 3. Ilu Yetsuyer, if we wanted to make a mikveh, because as you know in Gemara Chagiga, it talks about after Yom Tov, they had to toivel the kelim in case they were touched by Amaratzim, etc. So you have now a Shulchan. If I would build a mikveh, 1 by 2 by 1.5, it's exactly 40 so. Could I then fit the Shulchan in the mikveh, which is 40 so, it's 1 by 1, 1 by 2 by 1.5. Could I fit Amar B'tich Amar Nechneses? Very nice. Okay. So now we know that the Shulchan measures 40 saw, which is, what's the significance of 40 saw? Why is it mikveh 40 saw? Because that's the volume of a human. 1 by 1 by 3 is the person comes in, the water raises a bit. Okay, that's the size of it. We learn in Rambam, the smallest mizbeach, says the Rambam, is 1 by 1, that's Mokim HaMaroch, 1 by 1 by 3. The tiniest mizbeach is 1 by 1 by 3. Again, the same measurement. And the Rambam says there, Odom mimokoim kaporoso nivro. Now the earth which Hashem made form the body of Odom was from this place of the Mizbeach. Odom mimokoim. Okay. So it makes perfect sense that the Mizbeach is, the minimum Mizbeach is the size of a person because the Mizbeach is atoning for a person. Very good, yeah? So now we have a pasuk in Yechezkel. Also in that sugya. He says like this: "V'hamizbeach eight sholosh amos koymosoi." Vayda be'elai ze hashulchan asher lifnei Hashem. The mizbeach is 3 amos tall. Ze hashulchan. So Gemara asked in a couple of places: "Posach b'mizbeach, b'siyeh b'shulchan." Loi malecha. No, everyone knows the Gemara. B'zman shebeis hamikdash kayom mizbeach mechaper olov. Your table at the home where you have Achnosos Orchim, where you see a Dvar Torah by the table, you eat L'Shem Shamayim, Shulchan Shel Odom Mechaper Olov. And now you see a fascinating connection here. The Shulchan, the Beis HaMikdash, which is the Yesod of our Shulchan, our inspiration, is 1 by 1, 1 by 2 by 1.5, which is a Shir Avoy Mamo, the same as the Mizbeach. So there we have here Kemin Choymer. Just like the Mizbeach, we understand, is this, is Machaper al-Ho'odom. So too, the Shulchan has also got a shear of Agboim, so the size of a person, and therefore, Shulchan is Shalodim Mechaper Olav, the Ebishah should be Mechaper, Padeo Lekimas Yisrael Mikol Tzareisov. The Ebishah should be redeem us from all our difficulties. Aye. Then it's, aye, we have a Cheshbon. Vuhu Yivdes Yisrael Mikol Abay Noisov. You say, Eden, I've got, I'm missing here, missing there. Zolshan Zayn de Geula. Now, if we the Abishab will sort out, we should see this. Bimhein of your maiden amish.
Very interesting one.